I have to say that Philip the Evangelist impresses me a great deal. Not only was he obedient to the call of God, but he was a man who showed exemplary spiritual care towards a man he was about to meet. And that man, as we know from Acts chapter 8, was the Ethiopian eunuch, a man of great authority, who served under Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. And here was the eunuch, travelling down from Jerusalem towards Gaza, and along comes Philip himself, beside the chariot of this eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch asks a very vital question. He's there reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and Philip comes to him and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And this man responds in turn, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Now, in this instance, his lack of understanding was ultimately down to the plain fact that he was yet converted or yet to be saved. And so his mind was not yet enlightened, and glory to God, that was soon to change. But as I think about Philip's question, and I think about the question that was asked of Philip about, you know, how can he, except some man should guide me, it's that thought of understanding the scriptures. Do you understand what you read? And I believe that when it comes even to many of God's people, many Christians, there is a legitimate and there is a genuine struggle when it comes to reading the Bible, particularly understanding what a person is reading. And that might be a difficult thing to admit. We don't want to say we've been saved for many years, and when we read the Bible, by and large, we're not really understanding what we're reading. So I believe we should tackle this sort of question. What do we do, and how do we cope, and what's our answer when it comes to struggling to understand the Bible? Now, like any of these podcasts, all that I say is by no means a way of addressing all areas. It isn't exhaustive, but I trust what is said is going to be of some benefit to some people. So let's start with number one. As I've already hinted at, we must remember the Bible is a living book. It's to be discerned in a spiritual sense. And so we might say rightly, in that respect, it is a spiritual book. Now, let's be careful. I don't mean by that the Bible is some closed up volume of impenetrable mystery that only, you know, an elite couple of people in the world will ever understand. And neither is it a book that we're sort of suggesting that, you know, we're to go beyond the sense understanding and find some sort of hidden, deeper meaning that we're to make known to the world. That's not what we're talking about here. But we're referring to it as a spiritual book. It's a living book. We should not, therefore, read it and view it as ordinary books and volumes of men. Consider how Paul calls God's word the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6, verse 17. A sword, as we know, not just in Bible times, but any time, is an essential part of the soldier. And in wielding it, there has to be some ability to hold it and some ability to handle it. But the word itself isn't a physical sword, as Paul says, but it's a sword of the Spirit. It's God-breathed. It's given by the Holy Ghost. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it's described as a living and a powerful sword. It alone pierces within, and it alone discerns by the Spirit thoughts and intents. And so, unlike any other book in the world, the Bible alone, as and when applied by the Holy Spirit of God, it can cause, and it does cause, its own divine truth to be placed within the hearts of men and women, forever changing their lives. And so truly there is no book like this, and never has been, nor ever will be. Now, much more could be said on that subject, but all of it means that in coming to it and reading it, that we do not so as those who are scrutinizing it, or placing it under some sort of microscope, or dissecting it according to our thinking. You see, many of the struggles that people have when it comes to the Bible arise because, first and foremost, people fail to approach the Bible with the reverence and the respect that it demands. And notice something else as we think about some helps when it comes to struggling to read the Bible. And following on from that first point, we should therefore begin every season of Bible reading with prayer. I know that sounds very simple, but we can rush into reading the Bible, and that maybe is the beginning of our problems. We should pray with the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So can I ask you, do maybe your struggles with the Bible arise because, like Samson of old, we have fallen into a very bad habit of going to the Bible as at other times. We just assume we can go, we can read, and we can understand, and we rely on our own ability to discern what these holy pages are saying to us. And so beginning with prayer and just saying, Lord, I need understanding. I need help. Speak to me. Give me help not just to discipline myself to read, but to understand what God is teaching me. You see, we can just read words for the sake of it. It can be line upon line and precept upon precept, but we don't want it to be like that. We want it to be gold and food and honey to our soul. Another reason why we might struggle to read the Bible and understand the Bible is actually quite simple, but it often is overlooked because we don't read the Bible. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, think about it. You see, Psalm 1 describes the truly happy, or the word is blessed, individual. One of the leading features of this happy and blessed man is that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on that law day and night. It's really no surprise if we pick up the Bible only once a week and then feel ourselves to struggle. Peter exhorts believers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And it is simply not possible to grow in our knowledge of Christ or understand more of God's word if we are only opening its pages a few times in a month. So start reading it regularly. Start reading it daily. And then something else. Place yourself under the faithful ministry of a gospel-centered, Christ-centered Christian church. And that will help you to understand the great truths within Scripture. You see, there was a time in Nehemiah chapter 8 when Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and then he, along with others from the tribe of Levi, the Bible says they read the book in the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense and then caused them to understand the reading. That doesn't mean that the believer has no duty to read in private. We do, and we must discern and weigh all things as Scripture says. And all Christians must do that, but it is undeniable that as part of God's way to edify saints and build the church, that God has given teachers, preachers and pastors. You see, the Christian minister has the solemn duty to bring the word of God week after week to the people. And the minister has to do this distinctly and give the sense. And this in turn, it does something quite wonderful. It grounds God's people in systematic Bible truth, and it aids them in their own understanding of the reading of the word. I can think personally of many times, countless times, when I have read something in the Bible, and because of a sermon I have heard maybe beforehand, and it's been preached and a subject's been covered, I've been able to draw on that great teaching to help me in my own Bible reading itself. Additionally, if you then struggle to read the Bible and understand what's being said, go to your pastor for help. Ask him, pick up the phone, send a text message. Not only will he be greatly encouraged to see you and to hear from you, but it will further deepen the bond between pulpit and congregation. One of the other great challenges and struggles is that often Christians approach the Bible with a preset mindset concerning Bible doctrinal teaching. Now, it may well be that system of truth is actually just fine, it's biblical. It may well not be. However, we must guard against reading the Bible in a way in which we impose a viewpoint we have upon every passage we come across, because soon we're going to find ourselves very much frustrated. That is not a faithful dividing of the word. And then again, we might struggle because we refuse to read outside a set selection of Bible books. As part of a natural diet, we all generally agree that balance is vital. And if all we do is read the Psalms and one Gospel and Revelation on occasions when we feel in the mood, then we're going to remain stunted in our growth. My friend, challenge yourself to read the Bible systematically. And then lastly, and again, it's by no means exhaustive, there will always be quite a number of helpful principles to use when you read the Bible. I won't mention them all now, but just let me give you the leading one. Read the Bible with Jesus Christ always foremost in your thoughts. John 5:39 is often quoted, and rightly so, with regard to this. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." This does not mean that we must force every verse in the Bible to become a type or picture of the Saviour, but it does mean that in a very real sense, he is there contained and revealed in every book. Much of our struggle comes when we view a particular book as beyond us or too difficult, and what we do when we bypass it is we miss some of the most glorious portraits of the Saviour. And remember, God has been pleased to reveal himself to us in the Bible. It is expected that even for well-seasoned Christians that Satan is going to do all that he can to disturb your peace when it comes to reading this wonderful book. After all, it's by this word, the Bible says, we're kept from the paths of the destroyer. My friend, read it regularly, read it prayerfully, read it Christ-centered, and read it carefully. And read a few verses at a time if necessary. It's not a race. We do not want the scenery to be like a blur and pass us by. We want to stroll through the pages of the Word, taking in every truth, pausing to ask God for understanding, and if needs be, going back again and again. It's this Word, as Jesus Christ tells us, that will sanctify our very lives.